Well, now this is Channel 2 over. This Wednesday night, the 15th of September, 71. This is Channel 2 over. And the last side on this reel, telephone tape, but I'm using it for everything. This Channel 2 over, this Wednesday night, the 15th of September, 71.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Oh, just trying to limber up. How you doing?
Wake up. You know what time I got them calves unloaded last night?
No.
Heck, they were forcing my trailer ahead of me.
Good Lord.
I got home after 2 o'clock.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Good Lord, I just brought them back.
Huh?
I would have just brought them back.
No, I wouldn't. No, it's too much. Gosh, there's too many ahead. I mean, they kept coming in all the time. There's over 400 head put in there last night.
Gee whiz. They really get there early, don't they?
Yeah. Good thing we took them early.
What do you know? What do you know about that? Ooh.
But did you go up today?
No.
Well, I told them, give them a slip of paper and everything. They're going to put the 4 good steers together.
Yeah.
And sell the other 3 separate. And sell the cows by the pound.
Separate. Yeah. But the head never works.
No, I don't like to sell cattle like that by the head.
No, they don't work.
No.
It just don't work.
I never got more than 3 hours sleep last night.
Oh, Lord.
So, I'll be down after a while.
Okay.
I come in home and lay down, took a nap. I didn't want to leave you on the hook. I'll be down after a while.
Well, we're just sitting around.
Okay.
Children understand is that good men can go wrong, that good plans formulated by the highest motives can go awry, that sometimes the most honest and high-minded intentions can turn out, in the end, to have been a bad mistake. John Kennedy said that life is unfair, and he was right. These thoughts are prefaced to a consideration of our latest calamity, the prison rebellion at Attica State. I'll have more on that. If you want to be tough about it, you can make out a list of terrible mistakes which were made by good and decent men in the Attica prison rebellion. The first mistake, and the one for which no one may be to blame, is that the black and Puerto Rican prisoners at Attica came to think of themselves as political prisoners, not criminals, but political prisoners with a special set of grievances. The second mistake was to run a prison where hostages were easily available to the prisoners. Proof of this is that the prisoners took 38 hostages, an astonishingly high number. The third mistake, and again it is easy to see how it could be made, was to negotiate with the prisoners, not for one day, but for 4 days. Prisons are tough places where the operative factor is force. Talking, negotiating, was a mistake. The demands of the rebels grew larger. They made 15 demands, and the authorities granted them all. So the prisoners made 15 more, and 13 of those were granted. The fourth mistake was that the governor refused to go. Not going would have made sense on the first day of the rebellion, but after 4 days which legitimized in many ways the position of the rebels, the argument could be made that the governor should have gone. The fifth mistake was the plan devised to put down the rebellion. The authorities said they believed the rebels would kill the hostages, but they went ahead with an attack which seemed designed to do just that, get the hostages killed. And yet, there is no evidence today that any hostages on Monday were killed by prisoners. Indeed, the evidence is that the rescuers killed the 8 hostages who died that day. The plan was to fill the prison courtyard with clouds of tear gas and then to shoot into the clouds. Some plan. And the sixth mistake was to allow the distribution of the atrocity stories. Stories that one hostage had been beheaded or that all of them had had their throats cut. One great problem we have today is a disbelief in the official versions of events. The misinformation about the deaths of the hostages, however understandable in the confusion on Monday, makes the credibility gap only wider. And when we look back over the whole sad story, it is hard to find a single ray of light. The affair at Attica State Prison ends up being a senseless massacre organized by decent men. A tragedy. John Chancellor, NBC News, New York.
Questions about Formosa being the Republic of China come to a test in the United Nations next week. Interesting. Back in the... Very little has been heard from the United Nations for some years. Some time ago, then-President Lyndon Johnson called Supreme Court Justice Arthur Goldberg over to his office in the White House, sat him down, pointed across the room to the president's chair, and told Goldberg the next man to sit in that chair would be the man who ended the Vietnam War. Told him that when the war was ended, it would be done at the United Nations, and that he was offering Goldberg a chance to restore peace to the world by resigning from the Supreme Court and becoming the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. Well, Goldberg believed him. He did resign, was appointed to the U.N., and that was almost the last time Johnson ever talked to him. In reality, Johnson was sweet-talking Goldberg off the Supreme Court so he could appoint his friend, Abe Fortas, in his place, which he did, which shows how lightly the U.N. was regarded in those days, a sort of luxurious, upholstered Siberia, a place to send people to get them out of the way. Well, now that's history, and the U.N. is back in the news again because it soon has to decide about seating China and doing something about Chiang Kai-shek and Formosa, politely but not accurately called the Republic of China. Since Chiang's claim to be the ruler of China has no more practical validity than the Romanov family's claim to the throne of Russia, or if Great Britain claimed a former colony called the United States. In the case of Chiang, it may indeed be sad, but that was how the ball bounced, and there's nothing anybody can do about it now. It is debatable, in fact, whether he has any legal claim even to rule Formosa, much less China. He led the remnants of his defeated army over there and occupied an island formerly held by the Japanese, and the Formosan people were not even asked. But his being there was convenient to American policy at the time, 25 years ago, and so all the convenient pretenses and fictions were invented and widely supported in this country. Well, now China's established as a power, regardless of who likes it and who doesn't, and has to be reckoned with. And for the U.S., Formosa is an embarrassment, as in time pious fictions usually are. Well, next week, all this comes up in the United Nations. The U.S. would like to accept China and make some decent accommodation of Formosa. But China insists it won't have that and says Formosa has no right to be there. The U.S. would be pleased if the U.N. made the decision itself and left us out of it, and the U.S. would not mind much if Formosa were voted out by others, so we wouldn't have to take the blame for it. Next week. David Brinkley, NBC News, Washington.
Sir?
Mm-hmm.
I gotta go. This guy.
Yeah, how you doing?
All right, I just wanted to inquire about your family.
Well, Willie went over to see Margaret's husband yesterday and said he's doing real good, thought he'd come home tomorrow.
Oh, good, that's good news.
And he went to see his brother up in Gainesville and said he was doing pretty good and he was hoping to go home tomorrow.
Well, don't tell me.
Yeah, I said, well, he must be doing all right. He said, well, he thinks he's putting on a big front to get out, but he wants to go home.
Yeah.
Y'all doing all right?
Yes, in a way. I can't get my cattle all on the feed. I had one thing after another with them this summer.
My goodness.
Keep fiddling around with them. I tell you what the trouble is. It's rained enough to keep the grass growing, but the swamps have dried up, and the first time I've been here, since I've been here, that there's no water down there. They can't get out to it. It's so far out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to bring them up here and make them drink.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't like this old...
I know.
Well, water.
I know it. I know it's dry. I told my brother last night. I said, we need some rain. He said, you better believe it.
These hurricanes, you don't want to wish a hurricane on you.
No.
But, gee whiz, we need something.
Well, we'll get it after fall.
Well, I hope so.
I think so.
Well, I'm glad to hear your good reports. Well, his mother, is she still pretty?
I think she's doing pretty good. She's, you know, best you can expect, I guess, for age. She won't feel like a 16-year-old, you know.
Yeah. Well,
she's able to be up, and that's a lot to say, you know, because so many people are down and can't get up.
Yeah. Well, she comes over here. Well, she's been over here two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
And she has showed remarkable vigor over here.
Yeah, she loves to get out, yeah.
Maybe she ought to just get out more.
I know it. Well, Frankie working, you know, and neither one of them can drive. It's kind of hard, you know.
Yeah.
They go a lot till Sunday morning. Every Sunday they out all afternoon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
that's more than I'm doing.
That's nice, isn't it?
It sure is.
Oh, you don't get out either?
Well, most of the time I'm working, you know, and I have so much work to do home.
Yeah. And when you get home, you got trying to catch up?
Yeah, and I'm tired. I just let lots of it go and lay down and take it easy. My daughter just called, wanted to know if I was coming up there. I said, nope. I got to go to school again, you know, and I got a test coming up Tuesday night, and I said, I got to study for that sometime or another.
Oh, you're going to school again?
Mm-hmm. They always school you to death.
Well, what do you know?
I need it, but it's hard to let it sink in, you know.
Yes.
This one brain don't absorb it too fast.
Yes. No, especially when you've got so many other things on your mind.
It's really hard.
you know this, all this on the news about the prison thing up
mm-hmm.
there. Now, you check me on this, Evan. the sinking of policemen is sort of one track. And when you get into a situation that requires a lot of adjustments, I don't think any of them can do it.
Well, Mr. Miles, I'll tell you, if you never have been in a riot, you just can't explain to anybody how it really is.
Yes.
Let me tell you, when that thing starts, the good and the bad goes wild.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it's a mess. We brought this up in class the other night, and we had a colored guard in there. He said, well, now you know they sent something about this. Why didn't they do something then? She said, okay. One of the women spoke up and said, yeah, we had one here. Said, you have been in one? He said, no. She said, just be in one young woman.
Yes.
She said, they go wild. You can't talk to none of them. And you got to use tear gas or something to bring them down to talk to them.
Yes.
There's just no talking to them.
Yeah.
All they think about is killing and getting out of there, trying to get out.
Yeah.
They don't care. They'll kill their best friend, you know, that time. They just don't realize half of them just go into fits. And if you don't use that tear gas, by gosh, you can't do nothing.
Yeah.
It's bad to use it, but it's better than to have a whole gang of them killed.
Yeah.
Thing of it is, they lightened up on them so much, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, but they're gonna learn, they're gonna have to go back to some of that, or they ain't used to having an institution, a prison.
Yeah.
Just no used to having it. What's the society gonna do? They're
yeah.
going to be killing, going and coming, nothing done to them.
Yeah.
You know, now they can't catch up with them. And it's going to be worse than that when they don't have this.
Yeah.
If they have a little fear of having to serve time, or, well, I tell you, I don't believe in killing, but if they go back to this capital punishment, they're going to calm people down a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I tell you, times is getting where it's out of hand, and they got to go back to the old timey way to stop some of these people.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm dumb on lots of that stuff, but I tell you, I know enough of it, I don't like it.
Yeah. You see more than you need to want to see.
I ain't kidding. I saw part of that other one. It wasn't right in the spot where I was at, but I had some girls there that in my department just went into fits when they heard these other girls, you know, and heard the tear gas guns going off. Well, they give them a chance to come out and calm down. They don't do it, so what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You let them out, you can get killed. We had so many of them there, and you take 75 inmates. What can you do with 75 inmates with just a dozen or more guards?
Say, yes.
Like that.
Yes.
And they got something in their hands all the time.
Yeah.
You better believe when they come at you, they're going to be prepared. They're not coming with their bare fist.
Yeah.
I told my husband a while ago, I said, I'm going to tell you, these policemen, president, what have you, they got a job.
Yeah.
It's just, if the outsiders don't realize that these things are taking place in the prison, that they just don't want to listen, they don't want to work, all they want to do is sit on their can, watch TV, dance,
yeah,
and plenty to eat. That's all they want.
Yeah.
Plenty to eat. And they get it. They get it at our institution. If people would go down there and check our garbage cans, they'd find out.
Oh, really?
I'm telling you.
You mean they got it to have it left over?
Yeah, we sure do. They have it there. They get their share first. They have it left up on the counter, go back for seconds. And if we can reuse it the next meal, okay. If we can't, then we have to throw it out. You know, we can't keep it for so long.
Yeah.
And they got it coming out of the ears. They got there more than we got out here. Who has a steak twice a week? How many families have steak twice a week?
Yeah.
Pork chops and ham and hamburger meat and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Lots of people don't even have meat for lunch or their meals.
That's right.
And for breakfast, they have a full course breakfast. They have their biscuits, hot grits, eggs, bacon.
Yeah.
You know, like that all the time, jelly, butter, syrup, coffee.
Why,
sometimes they have hot rolls and things like that. You know, sweet rolls.
Well, they are eating like a working man.
You're not kidding. I wish that some of these people that, you know, I know you've heard them. Well, they treat them so mean.
Yeah.
They don't feed them. They just listen to one or two that gets out. See, they're so dumb and don't appreciate nothing.
Yeah.
Till they think, well, it sure is bad. It ain't bad.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. That'd be a good rest home for somebody when they get old.
Yeah. Let me tell you something cute. Debbie used to come out here and ride one of the horses.
Mm-hmm.
She was in, she got a job up in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to walk right there in the little square of a park of a thing right in front of her office where she worked. And these people that were dopesters, is that what you want?
The what?
They took dope.
Oh, yeah.
And they would sit out on the park bench, you
mm-hmm.
see, and just sun.
Yep.
And she said what they did, they would do that all summer, and then they would steal a little bit and get in jail for the winter, and then come back out to the park bench that spring.
That is so right.
Mm-hmm. Don't
you
tell
know,
me.
Mr. Miles, that dope is ruining the nation.
Yeah.
It's causing so many people to do things they wouldn't do. It's worse than drinking any time. Because, see, this stuff, it dries up your veins and what have you. You know, you just don't have the, dries everything up, locks it up or something.
Yeah.
We had one beautiful girl, and she'd been on dope. She'd come in, she wouldn't eat for a solid week.
Oh.
It just ruins you all over.
Yeah.
People's too dumb to let it sink in. Of course, I think they started too not early enough to teach this thing about dope, how dangerous it was.
Yeah.
But then a lot of them want to get on it just to try it, and they get on it, then they can't get off of it.
Yeah.
And it's so expensive, and if you get a little bit, you can sell it for so much till they steal it and sell it, you know.
Isn't that awful?
It is. It's awful. And till the whole nation try to help crack down on it, they'll never do anything with it.
It just got to be massive, as they call it.
That's right. That's right. And you can, just like a group of children, say at a birthday party or something, some students can have some dope and slip that into their drink or something. That's where they get started.
Yeah.
And
well,
you
really
don't even know about it.
And don't even know about it.
That's right. You don't even know it. But you get a hold of that stuff. We had one girl said they got a hold of some LSD pills, tablets. And I don't know how many she taken, and she was out a long time. They didn't think she was going to live, but they finally brought her to, and she was in a mess.
Yeah.
But usually it kills them. She just was lucky not, it didn't kill them.
It's awful, isn't it?
It sure is. It's awful.
And you see, you say it's all right up in Chicago.
Yeah.
But you see, it won't stay up there.
Yeah.
It'll come right in here with us.
You ain't kidding. Let me tell you, we've got it here. We got anything here that anybody else has got. We used to didn't have it. We got it now.
Yeah.
And you wait till they get that place built over here that just was voted in.
Yeah.
You're going to have more of it.
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to have everything that walks the streets at night, a gamble or things like that. They're going to be in and out of the community.
Yeah. Look, Sybil, when did your community begin to change? You've got one of the few communities left. Most of them sold out to the horse people.
You mean sold out to horse people?
Well, yes.
Well, you know why? Because, Mr. Miles, I had three brothers that farmed pretty big to be, poor people.
Yeah.
And they could raise some of the prettiest vegetables and stuff you've ever seen, and you take it to the market, you couldn't get a cotton picking thing for it.
That's right.
They'd take it, you could give it to them, and they'd take it and sell it and get their money out of it, but now you get yours.
Yeah.
Now, Willie had a round of this, too.
I know he did.
And they had to quit in order to have something to put food on their table with.
Yeah.
And this is what's happened to the whole community.
Yeah.
We used to just farm, everybody farmed around here.
Yeah.
But it's not that way anymore. It's gone.
Camp Blanning was about the end of it, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the 50s, they made an effort, but they all went broke.
Yep. Only might a few big farmers farming.
G.P. Was so far in the hole, he had quit farming and worked for that other fella.
So right. That's just what's happened.
I used to hear him say that, you know, when I was going to Sunday school over at Shiloh.
Yeah.
So, you don't need land unless you're going to farm.
That's right.
And then that lets everything into your community.
That's right. Now, these people that don't know anything about farming, they think farmers are the one making the money.
Yeah.
But they're badly mistaken.
Yeah.
They ought to try it sometime, they'd find out. It costs a lot for your labor and your seed and your feed and, seed and fertilizer.
Yeah.
Besides the upkeep of your equipment. You know what that is, keep up equipment.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. I just told Willie, I said, let me tell you, times is changing. It's going to get for the worst. It ain't going to be no better to it. It can't be no better.
I don't think so.
Mm-mm. Too many people.
Too many. And they got too much money.
That's right.
And they don't have one house, they got six.
Well, I tell you, Mr. Miles, my opinion, my brother was teasing me last night. Of course, he knows how I stand, but he likes to hear me blow my top sometimes, you know.
I don't know your brothers.
Well, he lives over here by me. He said,
I reckon I could see him sometime?
Oh, yeah. He said, you gonna go to the gambling over here to get that place in? I said, no, I'm not. He said, why? I said, I don't believe in gambling. I'm not going to gamble if they have it all around me. And he was teasing because he knows that just don't pay.
Yeah.
And I told my boss that he's one for it all the way. He said, that's me. He said, well, how are you going to vote? I said, well, I'll tell you right now, if I vote, I'll vote against it. He said, I can't understand about you Marion County people. You don't want anything coming in to make money. I said, let me tell you one thing, Mr. Frank. I said, you don't own property. The property owners are the ones going to really be paying taxes. I said, we ain't going to make nothing off of it. I said, the man that owns it's going to get the money.
Yeah.
Well, we won't get enough to, because see what they're going to do? They'll take your tax money, the build roads going to it, the upkeep of all of this.
Oh, yes.
You'll never come out. Never come out.
Never come out.
I told some of the inmates, we was talking about, some of them say, Miss Kid, I think I better stay in here because I'm more protected in here than I will be on the outside.
Yeah.
I said, you better believe it. I said, but you can get out and talk to people a lot and teach your children or somebody, you know, not to come in here. But I said, well, if it gets any worse, I hope my time will be here and I'll be ready to go. Because I don't want to see it. I done seen enough, I don't see no more.
Yeah.
I don't want my two daughters to have any more children either to bring into the world and have all this facing them. Because it's just not going to be no rest for the, you know, for us.
No.
No rest. No peace.
No peace for anybody.
Mm-mm. Every way you turn now, you can see it.
Oh, you just see it.
You sure can.
You don't have to look for it.
They had a little flare up down at the Reddick Post Office the other day, and one of the older white men of the community tried to correct it. He let him know right quick that it's his business. He do what he please. So what can you do?
Uh-huh.
Can't do nothing. Get yourself hurt.
Yeah.
Best thing to do when you hear a remark, try to ignore it. Get away from it.
Yeah.
Because it just don't pay. Too many against you.
Too many.
Mm-hmm.
And that was at Reddick.
Sure was. Post office at that.
Right there at your old stomping ground, ready.
In the post office.
Did you ever think it would come to that?
I sure didn't, but, well, I tell you, we used to have a evangelist preacher. Oh, before our new church, before this church they ever built was in the old church.
Yeah.
He told us this was coming to hand because he preached Revelation. And it is here. We often think about those times he used to preach this.
Yeah.
It has come to hand. We can see it now, but we just couldn't believe it back there. But now we can feel it and see it and feel it.
Who is he?
Mm-hmm.
Who is he?
That's Preacher Junior from Gainesville. He lives in Gainesville now.
Preacher who?
Junior.
Junior?
He used to own this office supply up there, you know, equipment.
Oh.
He is a wonderful speaker. He's got his faults just like I have, but I'll tell you one thing. If everybody... every preacher was like that one, because they could see what they're doing wrong.
Preacher Junior.
Mm-hmm.
J-U-N-I-O-R.
Yes, sir.
I never heard of him.
He's
so
up there.
He don't come out now?
No, uh-uh. He's, I think he preaches, he's just a substitute now in some of the jails and things like that.
Yeah.
He really, he said he should, wished he could, would have started in the institutions when he was younger. You know, he's 65, and he said he's too old to start now.
Oh.
But he said he wished he could have started younger. I said, that's where we needed him.
Yeah.
Of course, I tell you, our preacher really worked hard against us coming in, you know.
Yeah.
Tried to make people see that it wouldn't, they wouldn't profit. He, told them about the taxes, put it down on paper, black and white, so they can't say they didn't know about it. But I don't think our community wanted it in, but the other people, you know, voted for it, that drinks all the time and don't see any harm in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's no harm in it if you're going to stay home and act like a civilized person, but who's going to do that? Not many of them do it, is it?
No.
They get one drink, it makes them want another.
Yeah.
Get out on the road, first thing you know, they run into somebody.
Yeah. They gotta get
they don't, they don't, they're not held responsible because they're in, you know, under influence of the whiskey.
No, they're just ill.
That's right, and you're the one that's gone.
It's not criminal, it's illness.
That's right, and if they just ought to do away with that, because if you fool enough to go in there and drink and cause this, you ought to be punished.
Let me tell you, your little community out there, now, you all ought to make the most of that while it lasts.
How do you mean?
Well, you got such nice people.
Well, I'm trying to make the most of it.
You see, you got, I don't know them all, you see, you got Bill Anderson there next to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you still got your brothers out there.
Yeah.
I know their names, Ike and...
Miles.
I want to talk to them sometime.
Well, they enjoy talking to you. They're plain old country people, poor like me.
Could I just walk up and say my name, Guy Miles?
That's right. I got a brother named Miles, yeah. He'll know you by because he's heard us talk about you a lot, you know.
He has?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What, when could I do that?
Almost any time. He's usually off on Wednesday afternoon and Sunday afternoon. He runs the station over at Williston. Station.
Oh.
Which one?
Top of the hill.
Which
station?
Ike, come on.
Miles.
Yeah.
Stop in some time, introduce yourself.
Does Miles work out?
Uh-huh.
I mean Ike?
Yes, sir, he works for Whitehurst over at Arch and Raleigh over there.
Ah, but damn, with all that popped in, they got a hire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have too, you know.
Yeah. That's what I tell you.
And
you
all
have... staying home.
You all have too.
If you, you could probably own a retirement, see, and stay out there, but they don't have no retirement.
That's right.
If you don't have a retirement somehow, and if you're not old enough to get Social Security in old age, you're in foul shape.
But your retirement, just about, can't live on it. It'll just help you.
That's right. That is so right. That's mean everybody has to work to be so doggone old.
Yeah. And then all the family hire out.
Mm-hmm. If you don't make it in your first 50, you're not going to get it in your next 50.
Oh, Lord.
And me and Willie won't have it.
You already got it. You've done mighty well.
Well, I tell you one thing. I told my sister-in-law last night, I said, let me tell you one thing. Give me good health and forget the ill.
Yeah.
I said, if I got good health, I can get enough to get by on.
Yeah.
I said, as long as I got peace and quietness, I said, I'm happy.
Yeah.
But I just can't take all that scrambling and fussing and, you know, carrying on anymore.
Yeah.
I hear so much of it.
Yes.
I told a teacher, my niece's, niece that lives there next door to me. Her brother-in-law works over the men's side. He's a captain over there, Captain Collins. And he said, he's in my class. He said, well, Chitty said, how's the woods? I said, let me tell you, those woods are fine. I said, I'd rather hear them old hoot owls any night than to be in here where I'm at now. He laughed, and the teacher did too. He said, boy, you said a mouthful. Because it's just getting, and you know, when this place gets built over there, Mr. Miles, it's going to be city to city. There's going to be no... Because I've already heard these places is going to build motels and what have you.
Yeah.
You see that in already at Mechanope.
Yeah.
And it's going to be here at Irving. It's going to be over at Bartell. Bartell probably put up one.
Yeah.
It just ain't going to be no peace.
No.
It's going to be too crowded.
Yes.
I'll have to get a helicopter to get in and out.
Yeah.
I tell you, I sound like an old pessimist, don't I?
Well, I tell you, it's, I don't...
You can see it.
Well, you see, the way it appears to me, when I first came out here, Willie stayed at home and made an honest living.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you see, he hires out. And he can't help it. Can't keep from it.
I know.
And you see, that just changes the whole community. Whenever you see him or any of them, you know, they are on the wing, they don't have time to say hello.
Well, I tell you, you know, Willie now, he's been working so hard on his fence.
Yeah.
And like I told my brother last night, he said, well, I wish I could have been able to help Willie on the fence, but, you know, he just don't get in either. I said, well, Miles, I said, tell Willie gets up at 9 o'clock. He can't get out before 10, because he's got to eat breakfast, feed his dog and his cats, you know. And get around, and then time he gets up there, and it's getting too hot to work right in the middle of the day.
Yeah, he don't get much done.
He has to come back home and eat his dinner, and if he goes back again, he hadn't got but an hour, therefore he's got to come back in, get ready to go to work.
Yeah.
But he's got to work, Mr. Miles. You can't just let these things catch up with you, you know?
No.
The way things going, if you don't have insurance, something happens, what you going to do?
Yeah, that's right. I found out a good while ago, these days, a man by himself had got no chance, and that is something. When I had to finally admit that.
Mm-hmm. I know it.
And you got to sort of get in with an organization of some sort.
Well, he's got his fence up on the road, down the road there, but he's got to cross it back now, go back the other way to meet this other fence.
Uh-huh.
It's about half the distance, so he's still got lots to do.
Yeah.
But he wants it done so bad so he can get his cows out in there.
Yeah.
But it takes time to do it. I said, I'd sell them cotton-picking cows, and I'd start over when I got a fence and everything ready.
Yeah.
If he left up me, I wouldn't even have a cow. They're too much trouble. Of course, he enjoys fiddling around with them, but it's just lots of trouble.
My car just worked me to death.
Sure, I know it. And I tell you, if you was a young man, it'd be different.
I stay here at the house most of the time. I don't get out. I don't see anybody.
I know it. If you don't take care of yourself now at your age, you'll soon be down yourself.
That's right. You'll start showing it.
Yes, you will. It's all right to work, but you gotta know when to stop and not take too much of this heavy stuff by yourself.
I've thought that a lot of times. If I didn't have to go out there now and fool those old cows, I could go maybe go around the store and visit a while.
Well, we don't have time visiting more. I don't know about this time. My mother, didn't have a washing machine automatic, you know. She had to rub them on an old scrub board.
Yeah.
Cook meals for half a dozen and to do all of her housework and then have a half a day to go visiting or fishing. You can't even have that anymore.
How come your mother and Willie's mother to be so friendly?
Well, they've always been right in the same community. Went to church together. Both of their husbands were deacons of the church and all that.
Yeah.
I
didn't realize that till Miss Chitty came over here.
Mm-hmm.
And she was always talking about Miss Lily.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, who in the hell is Miss Lily?
Well, I wish you could have met her.
Yeah.
I think she's one of the sweetest persons in the community because she was always working for the other person, you know.
Yeah.
Always loved people, always wanted to do something for them. And as far as she was able to do, you know, she was left with about 8 little ones when my daddy died. And she had a struggle getting us up, but we still 11 of us living.
When did he die?
Oh, Lord. Way, way back there. Let's see, my youngest brother is 40, and he was, he's just a 3-month-old baby.
Around 1930?
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
And then your mama...
I was about 10 years old, I imagine, 8 or 10.
Yeah. When's your mama, how long has she lived?
She was 76.
I mean, up until...
About 10 years.
10 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In other words, she's still there when I first came.
Yeah, I guess so.
I've been down here since 57, and I don't know anybody. Well, I'll be darned.
Well, she was the person. Every time the church doors opened, she was there.
Oh, really?
And she had a flower for that church every Sunday if it wasn't nothing but one rose.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. She didn't have education to get up and preach and teach, but she sure was there to listen. You know, somebody's got to be there to listen to you. It wouldn't be good for you to preach, would it?
Well, what sort of education does it take to get up and talk?
Well, I mean to be a... she could have taught, but I mean, you know... She could talk the lower grades or something. She might have in her days. I don't remember.
She could talk to me. I'd love to hear.
Yeah, I know. I'd love to hear now, too, but can't have them forever. I know one thing. She's ready to go. She's prepared to go.
Yeah.
She just hated to leave people, but she was prepared to go.
But that was her headquarters down there at Willie's Church.
Yep. So right. She sure did like it.
That little Flemington Baptist Church.
We rode down there many a time in the wagon. I walked down there.
Hey, you remember that?
I sure do. Sure do. I've done it many a time. And now people had to walk out to the mailbox. It killed them.
Yeah. You didn't go down the hard road. You went that other road back of...
Well, no. We had the paved road there for a good while.
But I know, but you didn't go that way.
Sure we did.
You went the other road. What is that little road that turns off there and goes somewhere that somebody used to live back there? And I forget where it comes out. Where did it come out?
Well, it was near for us to go down the paved road going down to church.
Or why?
Mm-hmm. Unless we didn't want to be on the highway, we'd come back the graded roads, or, you know, dirt roads.
Well, I'm not talking about the main grade road over there. Where is that road? I turned off of it the other night when I went to take Miss Chitty home, and it was wet down the bottom, and I didn't know the road, and I came back. Which road was that?
Well,
It was up there in your neighborhood.
Hmm.
Huh?
I don't know. It must have been over here by my brother's, where you turned off on the graded road. Did you turn off on the graded road?
Well, we turned off at Jake Lightness, Lawrence's, you know.
Yes, yes. That's going by my mother's old place.
And came by there, but then we turned off at that. Didn't we?
Went back to the left on the grade.
Yes.
Yeah, you didn't cut back by my house, or you just went on by down there from Bill Anderson's? Come out at Monroe Titties.
Oh, oh, yes. That's the one that comes out Monroe's.
Yeah.
Well, now, what does that do? Just keep on the road?
It's just a grade.
Just keep on? No. You don't keep on the same grade that your old house, your home place is on.
No, but you can turn to the left and come back out at Monroe's, or turn to the right and go back up towards Walkahootie.
Oh, you've got a choice there.
Yeah.
How far on down there from Bill Anderson's? Just a little piece?
You know, you turn right there. Bill's to come to my house.
Yeah.
And then you turn to the right back up there. Instead of coming toward Bill Anderson, you're going around by where J.C. Mixon's old place and Maxie Mixon, and you come out to the paved road coming straight across from the drugstore at McIntosh.
Yes.
Going across to Raleigh, into Raleigh, Williston over there.
Yes. Well, I'll have to go again. I remember the road, but I don't remember where I turned off. And we got down there where it's low and it's just a little bit slippery, and it's dark. So I back up and came on back to your house.
Well, if it's real wet, it's best not to go the road if you're not used to them.
Yeah, remember now, she said it came out by Monroe's.
Yeah.
But it's easy for you all to go.
If I'm going to walk now, I'd go that graded road. But now if I'm going to go out to the paved road now, I would go the graded road if I'm going to walk. If I was going in the car, I'd go out the paved way, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, back when your mama went, if she didn't walk, she'd go in the wagon.
Yeah, but they'd go on out to, they wouldn't go to the Grady Road, see?
Huh?
They might go to the Grady Road sometime, but not every day.
Not every day. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, then it was, both of them were green.
Mm-hmm, probably.
It hadn't been paved long, had it?
Well, I don't remember too much about it being the dirt road.
Oh, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see, it was repaved, that's recently.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's right. And widened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Sybil, one of the alarming things is, you see, that the churches have lost their influence.
Well, I tell you, Mr. Miles.
And you see, you've got no defense. I don't know where you look for defense against that sort of thing that's coming in down there now.
Mm-hmm.
The churches used to have right smart influence.
Well, I'll tell you right now, it's people getting away from Jesus. You don't have to go to church to believe in Jesus, but so many of them, they don't serve him. I mean, they may believe and they may know it's one there, but they don't serve him.
Yeah.
They don't serve him.
No.
If you won't serve him, you're not going to do these things, because you're not going to catch Jesus in there, are you?
No. No.
And we got so many people. Well, it's just like I tell you. The preacher can't do it by himself.
No.
You got to have the community backing him.
Oh.
We got good people in our community, but get them to go to church.
Oh, really?
Well, I'll tell you what's hurt the churches.
Yeah.
Is these confounded TVs.
Oh.
And they could take them off of my part and put them in a hole and burn them up. Now, it's some good things on it, but you know it's lots of bad things on it.
Yeah.
And people see all of this. You'll hear so many people having heart attacks. I know when this first started, Willie saw it on TV.
Yeah.
He almost went into fits, just couldn't stand it. And I told him, I said, if you're going to take it that way, cut that TV off and don't look at it no more.
Oh, you mean he took it hot? He took it hard.
He sure did. Now he's getting adjusted to it because he's got to if he stays.
He got what?
He's got to get adjusted to it if he wants to live or stay around.
But he took it hard.
Yeah, you're going to see it. You're going to be around it. You're going to work around it. You're going to work with it. You just might as well face it.
Yeah.
If you're not, you just want to dig a hole and crawl in it.
So you think he can face it now?
Yeah, he can face it lots better than he did. Because, you know, Willie first come back out of service and all this started taking place, seeing it all on TV, he just almost cracked up.
Oh, he did?
I'm telling you. It's bad. It's bad. Lots of people right now just burns them up. I got two brother-in-laws.
Yeah.
Makes them so mad they just can't hardly take it. And I got one now in the rest home from worrying, aggravation, you know. And another one, he's had a real bad heart attack, just aggravation and worrying with such things and taking everything to heart.
No, I didn't know that, and I never would have suspected it.
No, Willie Show was cold. He was so against it. And I said, well, I've worked with him since I've been down at the institution. I was kind of adjusted, you know.
Yeah.
But he's beginning to get that way, you know.
Yeah. But it even goes back to the when he got out of service.
Yeah. Times have changed, and it started changing, you know.
Well, Lord have
it. And it ain't changed now what it's going to change.
When I, you see, you know, I've talked to Willie right smart, but not as well. I just depend on how you figure it. At least I've talked to him right, seemingly right smart. And you know, I never would have suspected that. You see, when he talked to me, he is on top.
Yeah. Willie usually keeps his troubles to himself. You know, he don't say too much about.
Yeah.
Looks like he's always looking on the bright side, but for a while he kind of got down.
After he got out of service?
Yeah, and then around when Stephanie was born is when Willie was down pretty much. That was, she'll be 6 years old, see? Back 6 years ago, seven?
Yeah.
He was really down, and he was sick, and then all of this taking place, and, but he's kind of got back on his feet, so.
Yeah. What was the worst trouble back then?
Well, just, I don't know. He had that something wrong with his heart or something, they said. It's pushing his heart one side, you know, causing him to not have the energy to go. And, but after he got some treatments, he kind of got back on his feet.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know he ever had any trouble like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
I would die. Well, that's one reason he likes cows, Sybil.
Yeah, he likes to stay home, you know, kind of so much. He's not a man to go.
He likes cows because...
He knows they ain't gonna talk back to him.
They're good. They're just good company.
You know how things change. You used to teach school and have peace and quiet, and now you can't do it.
Oh, no. They come up in my face. They spit in my face.
Sure, they will, and you know it's changed.
Yes, those little youngsters that wet behind the ears, they'll come up and tell me all.
So. You know what caused this, don't you? Most of it?
Yeah.
Parents not teaching them. Parents don't care. They don't love them enough to stay home and see what they're doing. They put them out on the streets and let them go.
I think the parents are afraid of them.
That's right. Well, this starts, you got to start when they crawl around the floor. You can't start after they get up.
Yeah.
If you can't give them the foundation their first 6 years, you might as well forget it. You're going to let them get away from it.
Yeah. Gee whiz. You know, it's scary.
It is scary. If you, I said, if everybody would sit down and think this thing over, and, well, it's like my boss, and he's kind of hard-hearted. He's a Catholic, you know. And he admits, he said, you know, Miss Titty, you got a grandbaby just a year old. He says, you know what, I'm afraid. He said, I'm afraid for these little ones that's coming up. They don't have a chance. I said, no, sir, they don't. He made her like this. He said, I don't know what else is going to happen. So I just don't know what's going to become of everything. I said, well, I do. It's going to blow up one of these days, and that's going to be it.
Yeah, there won't be much loss.
Well, the people here in America, they're not thankful for what they do have.
No.
Here in the United States, and wait till some other country come and get us. They gonna come over here. Then we ain't gonna go over there. They gonna come here.
Yeah.
Cause see, you see so many that's come in here and they love. love our country. They love the people because they're so peaceful and this, that, and the other, you know.
Yeah.
Their countries never have been like that, and they want ours, so they're going to get it somehow.
Yeah.
It'll be under another leader besides a Democrat or Republican.
Yeah. You know, your children have never given you any trouble.
No, we have two good girls.
And then that little Stephanie, she's just a bright spot.
Well, Catherine's pretty strict on her, and you have to be. If you love them, you're going to be. If you love them.
But she can take up herself out there with adults.
Well, I know she can, but we have to teach her, you know, you have to love everybody. And she told me the other day, she said, Grandma says, I don't care who they are, you're supposed to love them. I said, yes, you are. And you can't teach the other way because it'd be danger for her.
But I was thinking, I can't give you just an instant now, but she listens to you, she hears what you say, and when Willie beats her,
mm-hmm.
She just stands there and sticks her chin up.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that remarkable?
Yeah.
Why'd she get that way?
Living around a granddaddy and older people. I tell you, Tommy Willie gives a hard time. She's got to protect herself, yes.
Oh, he does, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Tommy.
Yeah, they love her, but, you know, they aggravate her sometimes.
Yes. But she can take it.
Yeah, she can.
Well, that's remarkable.
Yeah, she was over here the other morning. We was eating breakfast, me and she and Willie.
Yeah.
And Willie loved aggravate her, you know. He got to the table, so he reached over and hit her a little bit, you know. I got up and got my fly swatter. I said, I knew I bought this for some reason. I said, okay. I laid it on my table. I said, the first one past the lick, that's the one that gets it. But Stephanie just kept her hands down the lap.
Yeah.
She looked at her granddaddy as if to say, well, you better watch it. So about that time he hit her again, so I got up and tapped him with that thing. She said, okay, granddaddy said, Grandma said the first one passed the lick. They're the one that got it. Well, I ain't passing no lick. She knew I'd give it to her, too. But he loves to tease her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She loves him to death, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's some child, I'll tell you. I saw her out there several times, and
yeah.
She's...
Catherine told me a while ago, and said, Mama Stephanie's got the... She just started kindergarten this year.
Yeah.
Said they were just going to let her go 2 or 3 hours, you know. But now they're going to start. She goes from 9 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon. I said, well, she'll like it. She said, yeah, you know, Stephanie, she loves everything like that. So she loves her teacher to death.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, that's the making of one. If she loves a teacher, she'll learn.
Yeah.
And I said, she's so smart. I said, you want her to, you know, go ahead. And she said, well, I know it. But said, she's going to get out from under me soon enough. I said, I hate for her to have to go, you know, so early.
Yeah.
I said, well, don't hold her back because she's smart. Let her get it while she got a chance.
Well, where did they get that? Are you and Willie smart?
No, I ain't smart. Well, they just, Catherine Thomas taking up lots of time with her.
Yes, that helps.
Yes, Catherine is, you know, teacher how to print a name, spell a name, and the colors and the numbers. And she learned, you know, she went to a church up there, to church school, she calls it.
Yeah.
She learned a lot there.
Oh, did she?
Mm-hmm. She loved it up there.
Yeah.
You know, you can take little ones and you can do most anything little if you show them a little bit of love.
Is that, yeah.
You can't just beat them around and expect for them to listen to you, love you.
Yeah.
Got to be in the correct way, nice way.
Yeah. Yes, I'd love to talk to your brother sometime. Willie's busy, you know. He don't have time to talk anymore.
Well, I tell you, old Willie Chitty, you'll have to come over some Saturday night. He's usually home on Saturday night. He's too tired to do anything.
Well, I'll tell you, Sybil, I can't get out at night. My eyes, I can't. The lights knock me out.
I know. Well, when Willie gets his fence through, he won't have so much, you know, rushing him.
Yeah.
We think about coming over there a lot. See, one come over there and you hurt your hand, but just don't look like we can get around.
No,
we've had so many sick in the family, you know. Lola, my sister's been so sick for years and years, and she's been in and out the hospital, and got a brother-in-law in the rest home, and And then Lehman over there, and this kid was sick, Martin was sick. And it just seemed like one thing right after the
other. Yeah. Margaret's not too well, is she?
Well, Margaret, I think Margaret's just mostly worried about things that she really don't need to worry about.
That she can't do anything about.
That's right. Worry about things you can do something about, isn't that right?
But you think she does worry?
I know she does.
Well, she don't realize how it pulls you down, does she?
That's right.
You know, the first time I realized that, Miss Liza Washington down here, she's 92 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Mr. Miles, you worry." I said, "Miss Liza, I don't worry. I'm just cussing." But you know, I come to find out I was worrying.
Right.
And it was pulling me down.
Right.
And it took Miss Liza to let me know about that.
If you want to worry about your cows, what's the use for you to have them? Do the best you can to get it.
Yeah. But once you start worrying, you can worry about anything.
Yeah, well, this has been on slowly one day. We was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Me and him, Willie, were standing out here talking. He said, "Sib," he calls me Sib all the time. He says, "Have you got a gray hair in your head?" I said, "Well, yeah." He says, "Well, I don't see it." He said, "Here, me and Willie are, we fly-headed." He said, "You don't worry about nothing, do you?" I said, "Nope." I said, "Not unless some of them get real sick, you know."
Yeah.
I said, "What's the use to worry? It's going to happen."
Yeah.
Just when it comes, try to do something about it. Do the best you can. Forget it.
You know, I thought Miss Chitty, Willie's mother, I thought she kept house for herself.
Well, she did until she had this flare-up with her heart.
You mean until the last 2 or 3 months?
Yes, she did.
Well, I swear.
She sure did. What was done, she done it.
Well, I swear.
Margaret, I think, washed clothes, but other than that, she didn't.
Yeah. Well, what do you know about that?
Sure, she's had good help. I told Monroe. When she got sick, I said, "Monroe, y'all got a lot to be thankful for." I said, "Your mama never has been sick."
Yes.
And I said, "She's a person that don't complain of every little pain she has."
Yeah.
I said, "She's in better shape than any of her children."
Yeah.
She's got better health right now than any of her children. So they're always complaining this, complaining that. You don't hear her complaining all the time.
Yeah. You know.
She said that I don't have the engine. She told me that she. What got her down the most was she just couldn't get up and do like she used to. I said, "Well, you're not supposed to do like you used to."
Yeah. You know, I didn't notice that till that time that Frankie and Willie were over here making hay.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, I've noticed it. It seemed like Frankie's got a lot of excuses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether it's his health or whether he's like me. He just got excuses.
Mr. Miles, Frankie. This is what I say. People complain. Now, right now, if I fell in the bathtub and almost killed myself, and I went on to work, didn't miss a day, I think I've got a cracked rib. That'd have been most people. They'd been laid up in the hospital.
Yeah.
But what's the use? I mean, if you can walk around, you better be glad you can walk around. Get on out and go. Right now, I can't stoop up. Feel like it's sticking in me.
You mean you actually did that?
I sure did. I didn't go to the doctor. What are they going to do for it?
I don't know anything more painful than a cracked rib.
I know it. I want to stoop over Thomas' shoes. It hurts.
And you can't breathe.
Yeah, it hurts, yeah. Lay down at night, you can feel it when you lay down on your back.
Yeah.
But I said, I'll live till I die, so you don't need to worry about it. You go to the doctor, and he'll punch around on you, charge you $50, and you still don't have nothing.
Yeah.
I'm going to punch around on it myself.
Yeah.
I've been rubbing it, you know, and trying to protect it, but it's better than what it was.
Yeah.
But, Frankie might have a little, here's the way I look at things. He's never been to a medical doctor, just once, that I know of, since he's been here.
Well, he won't go.
All right, if you're sick enough, you're going to go, aren't you?
I go before I'm get sick.
Okay. Well, this is the way. You may have a pain once in a while, but that don't mean you're down sick.
Oh, I get scared death. You know, I'm afraid I'll get something wrong with me in my back, get out of my back something I can't lift a sack of feed.
Well.
So if I got a symptom, I run to the doctor.
You're supposed to go before you get sick. You're supposed to have a check every 6 months, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the way you keep down trouble.
Yeah. Sure, I enjoyed the visit.
Yeah. Y'all come see us.
And, you know, the most I've learned from about this part of the country, you know, you don't talk sense much, a person doesn't, is from Willie, when he's been over here, you know, doing a little something.
Well, he enjoys talking, you know he does. He just,
But, I mean, I learned from him.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the few that gets things straight and will go ahead and talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just remember one talk after another we've had.
Well, he enjoys talking to you.
If you
don't get over there, you
may
not think you don't love you anymore. He does.
I'll see you.
Okay, y'all come.
Right.
Bye.
That is an amazing visit with Sybil over the telephone while Faye was in town to see the doctor, get a test this Friday morning, the 17th of September, 71. Channel 2 over. The end of Channel 2 over. Almost this whole side. A telephone visit with Sybil this Friday morning, the 17th of September, 71. It certainly spells our old feeling that all her talk was in little spurts. Channel 2 over. End of Channel 2 over. And a telephone visit with Sybil this Friday morning, the 17th of September, 71. Rick is out. Using his typewriter. Faye went into town to get a test for the doctor.